We'll be reading from Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Well, this is a first. We have never, ever had baccalaureate service on a Sunday morning, and we definitely have never had baccalaureate service on the same weekend as the 4th of July. This has just never been done before. This COVID virus has turned a lot of things upside down and pretty much disrupted the last half of the last semester of our high school seniors. And of course, we just had to go with the flow of whatever schedule this thing had worked out. Graduation is tomorrow night there at the Emerson High School. And so this is the weekend that we do baccalaureate service, and it's a bit different. But a baccalaureate service is all about a turning point. And we want to look at a turning point in the scripture that was pretty much one of the most pivotal turning points in the history of the Jewish people, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Would you stand as the scripture's read, please? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for the counsel and your word that you gave to Joshua. This counsel is good even today for all of us. It's good for everyone in this building, especially for these graduating seniors at a turning point in their lives. We ask that your word would find its way into our heart and touch us where we need it the most. We thank you that your word comes to us very clearly, and that, Father, it still carries as much weight and authority as it ever has. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. God clearly states that this is a turning point. It's the end of one chapter, very long chapter, but the beginning of another. And so it is with graduation. Well, a lot of times we may come to a baccalaureate service and you might think, well, he's got a captive audience. He'll be talking to the graduating seniors. But don't put your mind in neutral, because the advice that we have for the graduating seniors from this passage of scripture is ours as well. But we realize the end of high school is not intended to be the ultimate accomplishment of your life. However, I know some parents who have said, man, if I can just get them through high school. Well, there's more after high school. That's not the end accomplishment. There are other goals. The end of high school should be a platform from which you go on to even more accomplishments. Joshua's next chapter in his life was much like yours. Success would involve, number one, the willingness to work. Success was not going to be handed to him. He was not entitled to success just because he was Joshua. Success was going to involve his willingness to work. Secondly, his success would be key on making right decisions. See, he was going into a place he had never been, doing some things he had never done, going to uncharted territory. There will come days where he would have to make decisions about which way to go, what to do, how to handle a circumstance. And he had to know how to do these things. You're the same way. God gives him some advice on how to best accomplish his goal. Three times he says this: be strong and of a good courage. Be strong. The future ahead would involve and require strength. And he says this in verse 6, 7, and 9. Three times. Do you think there's any mistake about what God expected and was advising Joshua to do? To be strong. And you might say, well, that sounds easy. Well, understand, when he told him to be strong, that's a command. That's an instruction, which means being strong involves a decision as to whether or not we will choose to be strong. We think sometimes strength is just because of fate or how the events of life have left us. But he says, you be strong. That's an instruction. That means we can make a choice as to whether to be strong or not. And he says again, three times, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Again, a lot of times we think our courage or our lack of fear or the presence of fear depends on the circumstances. Whatever the day brings is going to determine whether we're afraid or not. Notice carefully, that's an instruction too. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. So we're expected to make a choice as to whether we're going to be of good courage, and courage will dominate the day, or we're going to be driven by fear. How is this done? Well, he gives us the clue. Number one, remember who's in charge. Remember who's really in charge. Now, we as Americans, and especially as we looking at our future and what the future may hold and what we want to accomplish, a lot of times you have to be the master of your own destiny. One of the most famous songs that came out, Frank Sinatra sang it, Elvis sang it, I did it my way. Well, notice what he says in verse 9. Haven't I not commanded you? Haven't I commanded you? Now, that's important that he would say that. He says that this little going over the Jordan and into the nation of Israel to claim the land, that's not just a stroll you decided to do. He said, I'm in charge. Haven't I commanded you to do this? You remember who's in charge, who's really in charge, and it will go a long way for strength and courage. Secondly, remember where to find the proper instructions. Now, you'll get a lot of advice when it comes to your future. Some of it's good advice from people who have been where you are and people in your chosen career. But the best advice on where to find the instructions to deal with the decisions of life, he gave him when he said this in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You may meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. What he says is, you remember the instructions, and the instructions were the words of the law that God gave to Moses. And that would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those books. That's the law of Moses. And he said, you'll need some instructions on how to live, how to behave, what kind of person you're going to be. You'll have success if you remember that the proper instructions for life are found in this book. So we wrap it all up to say strength and courage are realized through a proper relationship with God. Remember that He's in charge, and remember His instructions are the right instructions. Years later, Isaiah would summarize this in one of the most dear passages of Scripture to a lot of folks in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. You know the passage of Scripture. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Did you catch that? Be strong. Wait on the Lord, your strength is renewed. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's some follow-up verses to this in chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, there's courage. There's courage. Fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. Listen to this. I will strengthen you. Isn't that just like God? He asks us to do something, which is to be strong, and then He says, and I'll do that for you. However, how's that realized? You wait on the Lord. He'll renew your strength. I will strengthen you. Listen to this. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Down in verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your hand, saying, fear not, I will help you. So we understand. He tells them to be strong, tells them to be of good courage. He tells them how to do this. And all this would really be wrapped up in a nice little package right now if we could say that Joshua was a young man, just starting out in his career. But he isn't. Joshua is about 60 years old. And you might say, well, wait a minute. How does this apply to the life of these two young people when you're talking about advice that was given to a man and a turning point in a man that was 60 years old? Well, you do a little bit of homework and you realize this opportunity came to Joshua for greater accomplishments because of decisions that he made 40 years earlier when he was about 18 to 20 years old. And all that is found in Numbers chapter 13. Remember, God had instructed Moses in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush, you carry this people to the land that I swore to your fathers. Carry them into the land. He promised it was theirs, and he asked them to go there. They had left Egypt. They had come to the point of crossing over. And God said, you need to send a scouting report, a men, and bring back a report. You send a scouting party of 12 men. Joshua was one of these men. And they went over to the land, and God's intention, they need to find out the best routes to find out where the dangers are, to find out where the provisions are. They need to find out how to do what I've asked them to do. And they came back with a mixed report. The scouting party came back with a mixed report saying, it's just like God said it. It's just like God said, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. In fact, the grapes were so big, we had to have two men to carry one cluster of grapes on a big pole between them. But then they said this, but it's going to take too much work, and it's too dangerous, and it's too hard. We can't do it. We can't do it. We'll never be able to go over there. The people there are huge. They're strong. There's fortified cities. They'll never let us in. We can't. That was the report. We can't do what God asked us to do. Chapter 13, verse 27. Then they told him, we went to the land which you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, said, "Let us go up at once and take possession. We are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we are." Most of them continued to insist, "We can't," even after Caleb said, "We can." And we continue in chapter 14, verse 6. Not only did they say, "We can't," they came up with an alternative plan. They said a better idea would be, "Let's just pack up and go back to Egypt." Now, God had a direction he wanted them to go. The direction he wanted them to go was to be forward into the land, into the path that he had chose for them. And they deliberately said, "We can't do that, but we're going to get us a leader, and we've got a better plan, and we're going to go exactly the other way. We're going to go exactly opposite from what God has told us to do." Joshua, the son of Nun, in verse 6, chapter 14. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They were so upset with the negative reports. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. The Lord delights in us. He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. They are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Wow. Caleb and Joshua, young men, made some decisions that day. And they established their stand that day. And they stood on three principles. And these three principles would do you well. And these three principles will do us well. Number one, God's promises are genuine. He said, "It's just like God said. And God will carry us over. God promised it's a good land." We found that out. You see that it's a good land. God knows what he's talking about. And God's promises are sure. They found the land to be just like he said. God makes some promises for us. And God's word lays out some things concerning himself and concerning us. And when we stand on the principle that God's promises are sure and stand the test of time, then we will be able to stand strong when everyone else is faltering. Number two, God's instructions are worth following. One thing we need to understand, God did not invite them to go into the land of promise. He instructed them to go into the land of promise. He said, "This is what I'm asking you to do." The instructions were clear. They weren't ambiguous. Everyone knew what God expected of them. And God's instructions are worth following. They weren't asked to stroll over there whenever they felt like it, and if they felt like it. But of course, they had a bad report. And others decided they weren't going over. What were the reasons? Could be a lot of reasons, but the most familiar ones is this. Number one, it's too hard. That's exactly what they said. "Yes, we know God told us to do this, but it's too hard. It's just too hard. It's beyond my ability to do." Secondly, it's going to take too much sacrifice. To do what God asked me to do is difficult. It's going to take work, and it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to cost me. So I'm just not going to have any part in that. And of course, we've got a better plan. Now, does that sound familiar? God's expectation is too hard. "Preacher, you can't expect me to do that. You mean God expects me to live this way? God expects me to follow these instructions? I can't do this. I can't do that. I've got to love these people. I can't do it. But I've got a better plan. I've got an alternative lifestyle. I've got an alternative way of behaving.
I've got an alternative way of thinking. And their way of thinking was this: we'll go back to Egypt. Now, that was a really good plan. The last time they had any dealings with Egypt, there was an army coming after them to destroy them. But to them, it sounded like a very good plan, even if that plan meant self-destruction. And perhaps, maybe this is the most familiar excuse: somehow, some way, God's instructions don't apply to us. Many people in our world today, especially in our country, somehow, some way, God's instructions don't apply to this generation. God's instructions concerning morality, human relationships, they don't apply. It's a whole different world, preacher. God's instructions don't apply. They don't apply to us. They don't apply here and don't apply. And we've got a better plan. We've got a better way of doing things. Joshua and Caleb said, God's instructions are worth following. And they stood on those principles. And then thirdly, and this is important, especially today, and it is important, especially with young people, and that's this: what is right is still right, even when everyone else around you is stating otherwise. In our country today, massive popular opinion goes against what God has stated concerning marriage, human relationships, kindness and love, decency and morality, and the whole country seems to be saying, this is all wrong. We've got a better plan. This is outdated. You can't expect us to live by this. And Joshua and Caleb said, yes, what is right, and the majority vote never, ever outvotes God. And it will never happen. And yes, the entire country may go in the opposite direction. That still does not make it right. Now, what's the result of this? They got what they asked for. They said, we don't want to go over. We can't go over. We refuse to go over. And God said this: every adult over 20 years of age that made this decision, you've decided not to have success. You've decided that it's too hard to go over and these instructions don't apply, so you won't. Only Joshua and only Caleb will go over. And for 40 years, they wandered through the wilderness until everyone who made that decision had died in the wilderness, except for two young men. Had to be 18, 19, because he made the cutoff point at 20. Had to be pretty much teenagers. Now, we fast forward where we read in Joshua. Joshua is standing at the river, and he said, Joshua, you take the people over, and you be strong, and you be courageous. But he never would have gotten to this point if he did not live by the principles 40 years earlier when he was a teenager. God's promises are genuine. God's instructions are worth following, and God is right, and his way is right, regardless of how many other people are giving you another plan. Those are the principles to stand on. Those are the principles that bring you success. Those are the principles that would bring us success. And part of the instructions, you may observe to do according to the law, which my servant Moses gave to you. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. Hear the instructions, and notice what he said. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So he specifically said, the principles in this book are the key to being successful in your life. And because of that, our church always gives to each graduating senior a copy of this book. And I'm going to ask Brother Jeremy to come and give each of our seniors a copy of this book and tell you some things about what God is leading them to do in their lives. Brother Jeremy, would you come?